Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Well, I'm bad, 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 bad.
Amazing why. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of my day. Thanks for hanging around. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, then we think that's a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to know what I mean when you continue to hang around and listen to our guest this half hour, our good friend Don Lambro, chief political correspondent for the Washington Times, the author of Fat City, one of President Reagan's favorite books, and of course his number one credential, I know he brings up early and often, is he's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Of course he would mention that. And he's our good friend Don Lambro. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks very much. Good to be back.
You're all a Twitter about it, aren't you, Don?
I am, for sure. Yeah. Even at this hour of the morning.
Hey, Don, a lot of people... Well, let me back up and say this. Several weeks ago, I started saying that... And it's not that this made me any kind of a genius or anything, but I just started saying, or observing, maybe I should say, that this is going to be the most interesting political season of my lifetime. And it's coming to pass, isn't it?
Well, it is. For those of us who've been around the track on campaigns for a long time, this is one of the most interesting, with a lot of firsts, an African-American would have been poised, perhaps, to do extremely well in the presidential races and, you know, maybe in the end take it, who knows. And then the Republicans, a 71-year-old
right.
Senator McCain coming from behind to bring some life into his campaign. So we have a lot of firsts here that are happening.
Well, and a woman
and
who's contending.
And a former first lady, yes, at the
who's
top
contending.
Of the list.
Yeah,
and
I think the religious issue should come in. I mean, I think Romney's Mormonism is a first.
Well,
not unprecedented, but in terms of him being, having a chance at this, I think.
Well, we always have to break these precedents, and we have. Of course, Kennedy's the first Catholic nominee and president, and then
Lieberman.
Of course we had Lieberman, the first Jewish running mate. So these are things, precedents to be set, and certainly Romney had to deal with his Mormonism, and that's been an issue for him. But still, he's come in second in the first two contests, and is still alive, and we have to see where that goes.
What do you think about that? I mean, is that such a bad thing for him to come in second, but to two different people? I mean, think about that. If you didn't win, if you won one of two, and two different people won the two different races, he came in second in both places. Is that not almost a draw for him? How do you look at that?
Well, it's always good to come in first.
Yeah, of course.
And back to back, and it's a. I think it's a negative for him, isn't what you
but,
can read
but
it.
But would he have rather won Iowa and come in third in New Hampshire?
Well, the situation you have there is that he was leading in both states.
Yeah.
That's sort of unusual, where you have one candidate in the Republican Party leading in the two big contests and led for a number of months by very good margins, and to see those numbers kind of erode.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is that's what hurt him more than anything else. If he had been sort of dead even, or maybe even a little bit behind, expectations would have been lower. The expectations game is, of course, huge in mm-hmm. Iowa, New Hampshire, and that's what you have working here with Romney. And Romney, the other unusual thing about Romney is that while he was leading in both those two contests, He was virtually unknown in the rest of the country, and in all the national polls, if you go back, he was always way in the back of the pack. He was never had good national numbers, and he maintained it was had to do with people just didn't know him, and that was pretty.
Right.
That was the case. So you have all these sort of components here with Romney, but you know, he is, I think, one of the strongest pro-business candidates around. He has probably the best tax cut agenda of anyone.
Of the top three Republicans, at least. Well, no, let me back up. Of the top three, of the top six candidates on either side, he's basically the only one who's ever made a payroll. Out of his own account.
That's correct. For a lot of Americans and for a lot of business people, that's very important.
It's a big deal to me, I'll tell you that, Don Lambro, right now.
Absolutely,
yes. Quick break, 20 till. Going to be right back with our good friend Don Lambro. We're going to talk about the big head turner, the big surprise that happened yesterday. Stay with us.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on.
Aflac for small.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me, for hanging around with me. We've got Don Lambro here with us. Don's a good buddy and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's chief political correspondent with the Washington Times. That's WashingtonTimes.com, right, Don?
That's correct.
And, of course, you folks, many of you read his column syndicated in newspapers across the country. Those of you who listening over our affiliate WDMV out of the D.C. area, you see his column in the Washington Times, his many columns in the Washington Times. And, Don, we're talking, and folks, we're talking about the political process that we're in the middle of right now, the New Hampshire primary. Since you were on last, we had the Iowa caucuses. Everybody knows what happens there. We had the New Hampshire primary for both parties yesterday. And the big surprise, though, was Hillary Clinton's campaign.
It was, and the polls
were you surprised?
I was. I thought she was, for some time now, of course, her numbers had been eroding well into early December, and Obamas were coming up and in New Hampshire, and so we certainly saw that in Iowa, and we were seeing it in other states as well. But then, you know, in the closing 48 hours, she seemed to come back up, but she certainly proved the polls wrong, because Obama in the final 24-48 hours had a healthy lead over her in the polls. So the polls were proven wrong, and I think it happened over the weekend. In the last few days, she came on very strong in the debate on Saturday, and her organization pulled out the stops. They voted for Clinton before, her husband, and saved his bacon.
Right.
And they did it again with Mrs. Clinton. So,
what about the tears? What about the emotional thing that got on video and was everybody saw across the country? How much do you think that influenced voters?
Well, we don't know, and maybe some post-primary polls will show what effect that had. It may have had an effect with women. I think their connection with her was very emotional, and that may have had an effect. But on the other hand, it may have been just one of those little anecdotes that really had no meaning whatsoever. I think in the end, it was the plea that she was someone who had a broad background and experience, and the fact that she was campaigning right alongside with Bill Clinton, and a lot of Democrats liked the fact that he would get back in the White House and has been his chief advisor.
For everybody who's like that, though, there are a lot of other people who fear that that we won't have as much of a Hillary presidency as we will have another Bill presidency.
There's no doubt about that, and that has been something that is getting increasing attention from analysts and from the pundits. You know, who would be the president, and who is the surrogate here? And there's no doubt about it that in the last 48 hours, or really the last week or so, he has been dictating the message and getting her to change and retool her message, and get away from just on the experience, but appeal to the base of her party on a very, very key level in terms of her her ability to make things happen and to appeal them on the issues that strike a chord with the base of the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, Don, people ask me about what I thought about her candidacy over the last few days before the New Hampshire primaries, and, you know, especially, you know, with what happened in Iowa and everything. And I said, well, you know what? Never underestimate the Clinton machine to do something dramatic. Now, here's the thing, though. If they're also capable of overplaying their hand and it hurting them as much as they are of hitting it just right and it helping them. But whatever they do, it will be very dramatic, and it will be something that maybe nobody has ever thought of before. And I think that may be kind of what happened in New Hampshire.
I think there's a lot to that, yes. And but New Hampshire was really the perhaps maybe her biggest challenge of this primary battle. She is very far ahead in Florida. Michigan comes up next, and she's strong in Michigan. And then, of course, if she gets past Florida on the 29th of this month, you go on to February 5th, where you have nearly two dozen states, big
Super
ones.
Tuesday.
And she's good. She's strong in those big states.
Yeah.
Of course, New York and New Jersey, California with its motherload of delegates. She may have gone over the major hurdle, really, in this race, and the rest is going to be smooth sailing for her. But we'll see. It's possible Obama is going to win some. He's going to certainly win in South Carolina, where the black vote is very strong, and he is way ahead there. And so he's going to win in some of those southern
states.
This
is going to drag out for a while, isn't it? Yeah.
This isn't over yet, yeah, and I think there's still a long way to go in this.
It's been a long time since we've had this much up in the air, hasn't it, on both parties?
On both parties, yes. You know, it's been, I don't know how many years or decades that we've had a situation where a president or a vice presidential candidate has not been on the ticket, this has been a totally wide-open race for new candidates who have, and so that has changed the whole landscape, plus the fact we're in a very volatile environment with a war on, with the economy softening, and that's an issue that's really going to come to the fore and is coming to the fore. They haven't addressed it that much, but the economy is going to, I think, increasingly be, it's softening. It's going to be a big issue.
I agree with you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give Don two of my predictions for the presidential race, and see what he thinks about those. And we'll do that right after these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're visiting with our good friend, Don Lambro, chief political correspondent for the Washington Times.
Bury the bottle, mama. It's grapefruit wine.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us and use our stuff. Don Lambro is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, chief political correspondent with the Washington Times, and that's washingtontimes.com. Right, Don?
That's right.
Don, as my audience knows, this is the seventh year that I've made predictions for the coming year. And by the way, Don, I always come back at the end of the year and do a report on what actually happened in my score.
Yes.
And I was 12 for 14 in 07.
Oh, that's not bad.
I've got a 62. I've got a 6-year record of 72% accuracy.
That is excellent.
Well, and so I've got my prediction, I made about 15 or 16 predictions this year, but the one about the presidents, I predict, I could not call the president because it's just too much. There's too much stuff going on out there. There's no way to anybody to know.
For sure.
And so what I did predict, though, on the Republican side, was that Mike Huckabee would be on the ticket somewhere on the Republican side. And I predicted that Bill Richardson would be the vice presidential nominee for the Democrats. What do you think?
Well, I think those are smart choices. I mean, Huckabee has tremendous appeal in the South, and he's proven himself to be a very glib campaigner and very articulate. And it surprised a lot of people. And there are a lot of political strategists who are saying they could see Huckabee going all the way, and they certainly could see him being on the ticket. And Richardson, of course, the key thing there, someone who is an Hispanic American, the governor of New Mexico.
He's got executive experience.
He's had two cabinet positions. He's been in the Congress.
He's even worked for President Bush.
He's got a lot of policy experience. And but if you peel away New Mexico from the Republican column, you have really hurt the Republicans. They've got to carry every one of those western states. And you can't start peeling away New Mexico, maybe Colorado, maybe
Arizona.
Nevada, Arizona, where you have a large Hispanic American population. So that is a very, very smart choice, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the ticket.
Well, I think he's going to be the best choice for all of them. They all need him. Obama and, I mean, Edwards, forget about Edwards. I think Edwards is history. Thank goodness. But I think Clinton and Obama both need somebody with the credentials of Richardson. And I think that Romney will need Huckabee. And I think McCain will need Huckabee if Huckabee doesn't get to the top.
The one thing about Huckabee that is perhaps poison to the Republicans is his championing the fair tax, which is, of course, this tax that would put a 25 to 30% sales tax on top of sales taxes we already have. For a candidate to be stuck with that, that's going to be an impossible sell.
That's a bad
to Americans. That's
the reason why I don't think he's actually going to get to the finish line. Probably as the presidential candidate, but the thing is, though, one of the things I like to remind people about, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Romney and Huckabee are at each other's throats, and you know, they don't like each other and all that kind of stuff. I think we should remind people, Don, that in 1980 or 79, maybe it was, George Herbert Walker Bush called Reagan's policies voodoo economics.
Well, that's true, and then because you had McCain battling with his tax plans with George W. Bush.
Yeah. But my point is eventually Bush became Reagan's vice president, even though he called his policies voodoo economics.
Right. And the question is, will Huckabee disavow his support for the fair tax and a national sales tax? I'm not sure whether he would. I mean, he certainly stuck with it. But he may do that, and it's possible he could be on the ticket. But we'll have to see where that goes. Right now, Huckabee has got a lot of strength and has a lot of popularity.
Don, let me ask you a question. I actually, regardless of who won or lost, I actually believe that the Democrat and the Republican races now, between the three Republicans and the two Democrats, top Democrats, I really believe now it's too close to call for the next steps. What do you think?
Oh, I think it has been, and I think all the polls have shown that. One of the most interesting things in this presidential election cycle is, despite the Iraq war and the unpopularity of Bush and the war and the pessimism about the economy,
right.
The numbers are very close, and it shows that the Republican brand is still very strong with the right candidate, and one party is not rolling over the other. So I think it is going to be very close.
It's going to be too close to call. Hey, thanks, Don, for being here. Good job today. We're looking forward to continuing to get your perspective on all this as we go through the season.
Thanks, Jim. I look forward to it.
Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.